So history will write the final verdict of what were the positives and what were the negatives in the U.S. invasion of Iraq. But to the disappointments of shock and awe, no WMDs, no quick exit, and other military fiascos in Iraq, we can apparently add a multi-billion-dollar police training program begun last October and intended to serve as the centerpiece of an expanded civilian mission billed as the most ambitious American aid effort since the Marshall Plan. The State Department has now significantly slashed the program from its original cadre of 350 American law enforcement officers to a mere 50 advisors, according to our partner, the New York Times. Now it seems even those individuals may be withdrawn from the country by year's end. $500 million spent, but the whole effort was reportedly dismissed by Iraqi officials from the outset. Retired General Jim Dubik oversaw the training of Iraqi security forces from 2007 and 2008, serving as the commanding general of multinational security and transition under the Department of Defense. Mr. Dubik, who is currently a senior fellow at the Institute for the Study of War, joins us now to discuss what happened here. General, first of all, what would be the difference between the Pentagon training security forces and the State Department doing the same job?
Well, John, there shouldn't have been much difference in terms of approach, but unfortunately there was. Under my command and my subsequent generals that followed me, we had a pretty balanced approach where we tried to increase the capacity of the police forces in their investigation, their patrolling, their forensics capability. We tried to increase the numbers of officers. We did, in fact, increase the numbers of officers. And tried to contribute the police to the overall nested requirement of having police, judiciary, and confinement, because those three arms really are all three necessary for any kind of good police function.
If you train the police without having credible courts and without having a correction system that is humane and respected, it doesn't really matter what the police are able to do. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I wouldn't say it doesn't matter. All three are important, no doubt about it, and all three have to grow and develop. Unfortunately, they grow in different rates. You can put in a police force and maybe a confinement facility and improve those a little faster than you can improve a judiciary just because of what a judiciary requires, judges, lawyers, clerks, procedures, laws. So they're going to develop at different rates, but all three are important.
How do you balance the question of this is what we think you should be doing here, Iraqi Interior Ministry, versus what the Interior Ministry has as its wish list of what it wants from the United States?
Well, the balance, in my opinion, at this point goes to the Iraqis. They are a sovereign nation. The police have been at war for 9 years. They've had tens of thousands of casualties. The police and their families have been intimidated and brutalized. They know what they need, and they know their weaknesses as well as their strength. The Ministry of Interior is progressing slowly. They also understand what they need to develop. And so I think the balance has to go to them. Certainly, we should bring to the table what we, from our experience, think they should be doing, and have a discussion from which emerges what we both agree to do.
Is that what seems to have failed here, that the State Department, at least these are the accusations from the Iraqis, that the State Department wasn't sufficiently or even very much at all listening to what the Interior Ministry wanted or set as its own agenda?
Yeah, in my opinion, that's one of the two shortcomings. Remember, this transition and planning started at least in 2009, if not 2008. So this has been going on for a while, and in my opinion, the deficiencies have been two. One, not paying enough attention to the Iraqis, and two, not paying enough attention to the lessons learned from the DOD programs that were relatively successful in turning what would have been a very violent Iraq in 2006 to what is admittedly way better than that.
Talking with retired General Jim Dubik, who's currently a senior fellow at the Institute for the Study of War. So does this go to the individual personnel involved in this program, all the way up to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, or are we also looking at a consequence of the systematic, really, defunding and reduction of infrastructure on the civilian side to accomplish these kinds of jobs We certainly saw under the Bush administration that the State Department was a hollow shell of what it had once been during the period referred to in this plan, the Marshall Plan.
Well, certainly it's a combination of things. One, the State Department does not have the resources that the Defense Department has. That's a fact. And that to me, argues for a joint effort, state and defense, rather than just state. But state wanted the job and took the mission on, so we are where we are.
Go ahead.
I think it's also a deficiency of flexibility. The State Department had been successful in training programs in other parts of the world, and I think they were wanting to bring that model to Iraq where it just didn't apply.
Let's talk about the models. There's the model of sort of getting people to confess, inmates and defendants and people who are being investigated. That seems to be the basis of the Iraqi system. The State Department wanted to shift to a kind of a, you know, CSI model, right?
Well, it wasn't just the State Department. My discussions with the Iraqis as far back as 2007 and 8, the Ministry of Interior and now the Acting Minister of Interior both understand that the country must move from a confession-based system to an evidence-based system, one in which investigatory training is required, a different judiciary approach is required, and a forensic capability is required. They want to do that, and they understand they must do that to become the nation they want. So it wasn't just the State Department pushing. This is the Iraqis themselves wanting to do this.
Finally, what's your assessment here? This seems to me a fairly significant debacle of the Obama administration, which really came into office wanting to shift a lot of the nation building over to the civilian side.
Well, I think it is a major debacle. I don't see where we are able, regain our footing there, because Congress is unlikely to allocate any more money, especially given the bungle of the past few years and the current state of our economics in the United States. And the other thing is, this seems to be one more example of the U.S. willingness to abandon one of its major strategic objectives in Iraq, and that is to get an Iraq that is closer to the U.S. and West than it is to Iran. And it seems, at least from this distance, that Iran is gaining influence as our influence diminishes.
Retired Lieutenant General Jim Dubik, currently a senior fellow at the Institute for the Study of War, commenting on a New York Times report that suggests a multi-billion-dollar police training program that they've already spent $500 million, begun last October, is being wound down for being completely ineffective. General, thanks so much.
No, thank you, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.